Welcome to Thrive Beyond Pornography, the podcast where real couples like us candidly navigate the journey to a healthier, more connected life.
Join us as we share personal experiences, expert insights, and practical tips to help you thrive in your relationships and break free.
Together, let's repair and build a rock-solid connection, becoming a couple that can overcome any challenge.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Thrive Beyond Pornography. I'm your host, Zach Spafford.
And I'm Darcy.
We just spent the last few minutes doing an exercise called Hugging Till Relaxed. It's fun. We're going to talk about that on our next podcast, though. But before we get into this week's podcast, I want to remind you that if you want to get coaching and you have been hitherto unable to afford it, it's been expensive or too expensive for you, go to thrivebeyondpornography.com/group2024. There's a special group program that I only do once a year. I do it early in the year. It's a kickoff. It's only $1,000. It's an opportunity for you to get one-on-one coaching in a group setting, create an awesome group of men around you that can help you work through your struggle to quit pornography. So if that's something that you want, go to thrivebeyondpornography/group2024. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there. This week on the podcast, we're going to dive into the concept of renewal in marriage and exploring why it's essential to renew your marriage and how this will actually help you breathe life into your relationship.
So what exactly do we mean by renewal in marriage? So at its core, renewal is about revitalizing, refreshing, and rejuvenating your connection with your partner. It's these—
All things I love.
All things I love. It sounds like a, I don't know, like a podcast episode.
All Things I Love?
Yeah, name of a podcast.
Yeah, the name of our new podcast is going to be All Things I Love.
All right, so back at
it. It's not going to be about porn, though.
It's the intentional act of looking at your marriage with fresh eyes and a renewed sense of commitment. And the reason why we wanted to talk about it today was that it's just the beginning of the year, and it's a good new fresh start.
I think marriage is one of those awesome journeys that we get to choose to go on. There are highs, there are lows, there are natural routines and challenges that come into a marriage. And all of that can really take a toll. We have a friend whose mom got married after her dad passed away. And she's like, oh, I want to be married only to my second husband forever because my first husband, that was a difficult life. And it's interesting because a lot of us, we're in that first marriage or even our second marriage and we have kids and all of those natural responsibilities that take a toll on a relationship. I mean, this woman got married many years after her children had all grown up and gone out of the house and her second husband was a lot more wealthy. So basically her second marriage is more fun because there's a lot less struggle in it. And if you're in that struggle, but you want more fun, this is what we're talking about. This is that natural opportunity to renew and create a funner, more exciting marriage that's not just about fixing something that's broken. It's about nurturing and proactively caring for the relationship that you want. And relationships are dynamic. They're living entities. They evolve over time. Esther Perel, and we talked about this, I think, on the podcast before, Esther Perel says, you'll be married to two or three people in your lifetime, and they all might be to the same person.
And what you did in the beginning of your relationship that worked might not work now and might need adjustments. And so as you guys both grow and you evolve as a couple, you might have to renegotiate things and get a new action plan of how it is you want to move forward.
Yeah. And we were actually I just mentioned this to somebody the other day. Darcy and I were renegotiating our relationship the other day. And she was saying some things that she found were a difficulty, and we're just trying to walk through that path of what is it that we actually want? How do we put that together? And part of that process is not getting your feelings hurt. In the beginning, it kind of feels like she's coming at me and I'm like, okay, I just need to calm down. I need to understand what it is that she's actually saying and deal with that on its merits and be close to her in this process. And renewal is a powerful antidote to that stagnation, that sense of, oh man, they don't like me. My partner doesn't like me because. And this is about breaking free from routines that might have become too familiar and that are keeping you from injecting a sense of excitement and curiosity back into your relationship.
As individuals, we evolve, and so do our needs and our desires and our perspectives. Renewal involves acknowledging and embracing these changes within ourselves and our partner, and having the ability to foster a deeper understanding of who we are and who it is that we are becoming and who it is that we want to become. One of the beautiful aspects of renewal is the opportunity for new beginnings within your marriage. It's a chance to rewrite part of your story. It's a chance to set new goals and create a shared experience that contributes to the narrative of your relationship.
One of the ways that we create renewal and growth beyond the trials and challenges of life, like our struggle with pornography, is that we imagine our marriage and then we envision our marriage as if it's a garden. It's a sacred refuge. It's ours. It's a place where we come to be together, and that's sacred. That sense, that requires nurturing, attention, and it requires cultivation. The issues that we deal with, like unwanted pornography, can often be thought of as invasive weeds that threaten the vibrancy of the garden. So let's talk about how this metaphor unfolds for us and how you can put this into play over the course of this next year so that your relationship is renewed and more awesome.
So we're going to go over 7 different key points that we're going to talk about. And the first one that we're going to talk about is identifying weeds, acknowledging the challenge. In the garden of marriage, just go with us, right? This sounds kind of weird, but in the garden of marriage, the unwanted pornography that's in our lives is kind of representative of invasive weeds. For some of you, your garden might be a beautiful, thriving garden with just a few weeds here and there. For others of you, your garden might be full of weeds that you can't seem to get caught up on. They're everywhere. And maybe even just going out to the garden and looking at those weeds feels overwhelming, and you can't even start the process of dealing with the weeds. So maybe you just pretend it's not there, right? I know for some wives that I've met with, they just kind of want to pretend that it's not there and just stay out of the garden, right? If we don't look at the weeds, then we don't know they're there and we don't have to pull them. If we look too closely at the weeds, we might start having some very unkind inner dialogue that goes on. The goal here is to acknowledge the presence of these weeds without judging ourselves, recognizing that they are there and that they do hinder the growth and beauty of our shared space. Sometimes we see couples that stop nurturing and stop watering their plants in their garden because they are so focused on the weeds. Overcoming unwanted pornography has to be a healthy balance between watering the life-producing plants in your garden, whether that's flowers for cut flowers on a vase or if it's a vegetable garden. We have to also take care of the plants and address the weeds, because if we leave the weeds there, they can oftentimes choke out the plants growing. But if all we do is focus on the weeds, then the beautifulness of what is to grow in that garden is not going to be able to grow.
Yeah, I think if you look at your garden and all you see is weeds, why would you want to go out and garden? So here are some questions that you can ask yourself. What specific challenges or behaviors related to unwanted pornography are affecting your relationship? Another question that you might ask is, how do we individually feel about addressing this particular issue together? So whatever that issue is, if there is an issue that you want to address, maybe it's pornography. Darcy was reading a thread about a husband who's constantly on his phone. These kinds of issues, you might want to ask, how do I feel about addressing this issue with my spouse? Do I feel like I'm trapped? Do I feel like I'm stuck? Do I feel like I'm lost? Do I feel like it's overwhelming? Do I feel like he just doesn't love me? Because of course, if he loved me more, he would not stare at his phone quite so much. And just addressing that sense of what is going on in there, in the garden, is going to be helpful to get your feet under you. Another question you might want to ask is, are there any underlying emotions or concerns that need to be acknowledged? What do I need to acknowledge for myself? What might I want to acknowledge for my spouse? And allow those underlying emotions or concerns to be out in the open, without feeling like it has to be all perfect and, you know, we never address anything of meaning.
All right. So that's the first one. The second one is cultivating the soil. Anyone that is a gardener knows that you have to take really good care of your soil, and you have to, you know, what, add nitrates and all the good stuff to your soil.
Not gardeners.
Yes.
We have a friend who's a gardener. She's fantastic at it. Her house is like this little oasis here in St. George where it's so warm, and their backyard is like 10 degrees cooler in the summer than anywhere else. They're really good gardeners. We, on the other hand, don't have even grass.
So understanding the soil of your relationship, this is the emotional and essentially the foundation for what it is that you are trying to grow. The goal here is to dig into the roots of the issues and explore the emotional and relational landscape that allows these weeds to thrive. By cultivating the soil, you can lay the groundwork for renewal, examine the relational dynamics that contribute to the issue, and then you can begin to understand the patterns of communication, trust, and intimacy that may be affected. And some of the things that you can think about is what emotional and relational factors contribute to the presence of unwanted pornography in your marriage. How can you actively listen and validate each other's feelings without assigning blame? And this is a really, really hard one to do. I know for me, it was really hard because I really wanted to place all the blame on Zach when he was looking at porn. It was so much easier for me to be like, this is your fault. I'm good, right?
It was my fault, but it wasn't, but it was also.
But if we look at, you know, essentially the soil, there was definitely things in the soil that I could have done better, that I could take responsibility for and cultivate a beautiful landscape.
And I think that's a really difficult concept, especially when the culture behind it is so much, once he fixes this, or this is his problem and he needs to fix it. And once he fixes it, then we can get back to our relationship. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit as well. But the reality here is that the more willing we are to look at the soil, to look at what is contributing to the overall health of our garden, then we're more likely to be able to address that in a way.
Yeah. Another thing you can think about is how has this issue impacted our communication and our connection? And are there past experiences or unmet needs that may be influencing this challenge?
A couple of things there. One of them is being willing to have a conversation about unwanted pornography is really tough when the environment of that conversation is one of blame and responsibility shifting and placing the importance of my needs over your needs. The more that you can be aware of all of the impacts and all of the things that you are saying in those conversations that do impact this connection, that do impact the soil, the more likely it is, that, again, that you're going to be able to deal with them in a direct and meaningful way.
Number three is planting the seeds of change and nurturing growth. Just as a gardener plants seeds for a beautiful harvest, actively working on planting seeds of positive change in your relationship is a key component of growing your garden. And this involves open and honest communication. You can, you know, discuss boundaries. You can discuss expectations and the impact of pornography in your marriage. And nurturing these seeds will begin to foster growth and pave the way for renewal. These are all really complicated, difficult things, because I know for me, oftentimes boundaries was more about controlling Zach's behavior than about what I was going to do, or my expectations of what was going to happen were not necessarily what Zach's expectations were going to happen. And Zach had expectations that weren't very well communicated to me and weren't necessarily agreed upon. And so Oftentimes we have expectations that we create on our own and expect everyone else to follow, even if they haven't agreed to that.
They may not even have an idea of what it is that you expect. And I think that that is certainly something that we struggled with, is just understanding what it was that each of us expected and being willing to communicate those expectations, even when there was a breach on one of those issues, and not making it into this big, huge deal, but really just being willing to say, okay, I see where you are. I understand what's going on for you. This is what I expect. And I want to verify this understanding with you.
I'm thinking back to when you struggled with pornography and around the idea of expectation. And I think for yourself, you had the expectation that you wouldn't look at porn.
Right.
But you lacked the skills and the follow through to accomplish that. And so there was that disconnect between what it was that you actually wanted and expected of yourself and the results that you were creating for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the things you can think about are like, what specific changes or boundaries can we agree upon to address this issue? And how can we create a safe space for open communication about our feelings and our needs? And Zach kind of touched on that earlier, but this is a really, I think, key component of being able to have healthy dialogue around pornography is creating a space that feels safe for both people to communicate, where both people can share what's on their mind, what's causing them pain, what's causing them like struggles, and being able to stay in that place, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it sucks, and while also working on keeping regulated.
Yeah, I think that too often when we say safe space, what we are saying is, I don't want to ever have any bad feelings. And that's what you're saying. What you're saying is, when you're creating a safe space for open communication about your feelings and needs, what you're creating is a position and a place where each of you are willing to stand in, address your own feelings, needs, desires, discomforts,
anxieties,
and still be willing to address them openly with your spouse, rather than my spouse has to make me feel safe. It's, I have to make me feel capable so that this is a safe space and each of us can address what's going on for ourselves and for the relationship within this space. It's slightly different than I think anybody is used to hearing it now. This safe space is not about making it easy and comfortable for everybody. This safe space is about making it so that each of you is willing
to sit
sit
through the discomfort,
yes,
of hearing what's true,
yes,
for your partner.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if it invalidates you, even if it's hard to hear.
Right. And then I think the next question is that you will want to ask yourself is, are there resources or support systems that we can tap into for guidance and encouragement along the process of planting and nurturing these seeds? If you want help as a couple and you want to go through this process, Darcy and I have set up a new couples coaching program for couples that lasts an entire year. And it's very effective in helping a couple move from, we don't know what to do, to here's the tool that we need to put into play today and make that tool effective in our lives. And you can go to thrivebeyondpornography.com/workwiththrive and sign up for a free breakthrough session to have that conversation with us.
We're finding how rewarding and how much easier it is for couples to really grow beyond pornography together when they're working together.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's night and day. When I work with an individual, it's all about this skill set that we're doing. But when we work with a couple, there's so much more movement and it's so much more effective because each partner is able to help the other see things that they couldn't see before.
And really just help themselves. So the fourth one is watering and sunlight. And we're going to analogize this to building intimacy and connection. So water and sunlight are an essential part of a garden's health. Without water and sunlight, your plants are going to shrivel up and die.
Oh man, that sounds horrible.
That's true though. I mean, let's be honest. Focusing on rebuilding intimacy and connection is a powerful tool to really create a thriving garden. And it's like what I was saying above. It's when you're only focused on the weeds and you're not nurturing your plants, they're not going to survive. Water your relationship with open communication, vulnerability, and emotional support, and allowing that sunlight of understanding and empathy to shine on the challenges you face. When I think about water and sunlight and ways that I can bring that to my garden, some of the things that I would think about is, in what ways can I actively nurture my emotional connection and intimacy with my spouse? What communication patterns contribute positively to our relationship and how can I strengthen them? And another one is, are there shared activities or things that we like to do together that bring joy and closeness to our relationship?
And one of the things that we're going to talk about next week is that hugging till relaxed exercise that we were practicing just before we started this podcast. And that's one of the rituals, one of the things that you can do to nurture your emotional connection and intimacy. And when we're talking about connection and intimacy, we're not talking about just sex. We're talking about being open, being known, and being vulnerable with your partner.
Okay, number five is blossoming flowers or
Celebrate producing, progress.
Or producing the vegetables as the garden of your relationship flourishes and you've got blooming blossoms that you can cut to put in your vase, or you've got vegetables that you can harvest and eat. This represents the positive changes that you've nurtured, right? So when you take care of your garden and you also work on your weeds, then you can start to really reap the benefits of your harvest. And sometimes we think, oh, well, if only my zucchinis were bigger. Nope, nobody ever thinks that because the zucchinis seem to always grow. But if we are comparing, Zach's looking at me like I'm crazy right now.
I'm interested in this analogy. Please continue.
And now my
if only my zucchinis were bigger. No, the zucchinis grow just fine. Go on.
I don't know. I don't. In my experiences with gardening, you know, you always like miss picking your zucchini in time, and then they grow to be like the size of your leg, and then they're just not that good. But
that is not how I thought that was going to end. I thought that this was a phallic analogy. And,
no, it wasn't.
So let's maybe pumpkins. Let's talk about pumpkins instead of zucchini.
No, I was just okay.
But go on. Kay. No, I like it. It's fun.
As the garden of your relationship flourishes and your blossoming flowers grow so you can cut them and make a beautiful bouquet and put them on your countertop, or your vegetables grow, you can start to begin to celebrate your harvest and all of your hard work that you put into and the changes that you nurtured in your relationship. You can celebrate the progress made in rebuilding trust, establishing healthier habits, and fostering a renewed sense of intimacy. I think that if we relate this to a vegetable garden, you know, sometimes your harvest isn't quite as good as you wanted it to be. Mm. Or maybe your neighbor's harvest did so much better than your harvest, and you can compare and get jealous or hard on
zucchinis.
Yeah, hard on zucchinis, hard on. Let's try again.
Or you can be hard on yourself.
Yeah, you can get. Yep, you can get hard on.
You can be hard.
You can be hard on yourself if you're comparing your progress in your garden and your harvest to someone else's.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to really focus on your relationship and the changes and the progress that you've made as a couple, and not compare yourself to where you might think others are. Because one of the things that in this line of work that we do is that we see all sorts of relationships. And even the ones that on the outside look absolutely perfect, the people that you would like sit next to at church and think, wow, they have a perfect life. And then, you know, the work that we do, we see is like, oh, wow, everybody struggles. Everybody has challenges and nobody's perfect.
Yep. State presidents,
maybe
bishops.
And maybe the more perfect that they're trying to look, the more not perfect they are.
Absolutely. That's 100% true. And I think one of the things that you can do to start to see this is ask some questions. So what are the positive changes that I'm noticing in my relationship as we address these issues, as we're talking about these things? What am I noticing? What is positive about what's going on? I think so often, if you are a gardener, I think one of the most wonderful things is to go out and find a piece of fruit that you didn't, or a vegetable that you didn't know was going to be there. Volunteer fruits, volunteer vegetables. Our friends down the street, they garden every single year, and every year they're like, oh yeah, and this just grew by itself from a couple of years ago. And it's just an awesome analogy to the way that you can start to just look for what are the small changes? What are the things that I'm noting that are positive in our relationship? You can also ask, how can I celebrate these small victories and acknowledge the efforts that are being made, whether that's on my side or of the street or on my spouse's side? Because the more that we notice those things, the more likely it is that they will continue.
And then what new habits or communication strategies have proven to be effective in your relationship and working on rebuilding trust and intimacy?
Taking a look at that, seeing it, and talking about it out loud, I think is a great way to do it. The next one that we want to talk about is seasonal pruning, which is analogous to embracing these growth cycles. In a garden, periodic pruning is necessary for sustained growth. There's a story that I once heard about a tree that someone was pruning. And as he was pruning this tree, there was this kind of dialogue between him and the tree. And the tree was like, no, look how big I've grown and how awesome I am and how much I have expanded from the last year, and the gardener is saying, no, I'm the master of this vineyard. I'm the person who's in charge of this garden. I'm going to prune you how I see fit so that you'll grow the fruit that I want. If we can similarly embrace the growth cycles in our relationship, where we see those outgrowths that we don't like and we're acknowledging those challenges as they arise, each cycle we're going to have this opportunity to renew for continued growth, to create the marriage or the fruits that we want. And if you look at your marriage, in you might want to ask yourself, in what ways do I approach challenges and opportunities as a matter of growth for our relationship rather than I hate this, this sucks, this shouldn't be in my relationship?
A lot of our listeners can probably relate to this concept if I just shift it to a slightly different perspective. So when you're at church and someone asks you to do something, we've all been there where we've been asked to do something at church and we felt like, wow, this kind of puts me a little bit out of my comfort zone, or I have zero interest in doing this. I don't want to do this. Or even I feel completely inadequate to take on this responsibility. And in those situations, what is it that we tell ourselves and that other people tell us? And often it's things like, this is an opportunity for growth for you. If you do this, it will stretch you and it will challenge you and you will grow. You will receive blessings from God for your effort and for putting yourself out there and serving, all of those kind of ideas. But how good are we at taking those same principles and applying them to the challenges in our own marriages?
No, but nobody wants to look at their marriage and be like, oh yeah, we got this trial of where my husband looks at porn and I feel inadequate. Nobody looks at it that way. And I think that's a really good analogy, because nobody wants to look at it that way because it feels so personally painful. And the reality that we're trying to help you see, and I think that each of you can take on, is that if you're willing to embrace that as an opportunity to grow together and make something awesome out of what can seemingly be a destructive pattern in your relationship, you're going to feel so much better. You're going to be so much better off as an individual and as a couple, because you're going to have a much more robust capacity in yourself to deal with difficult.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that you're going to want to ask yourself is, are there recurring patterns or triggers that I need to address through communicating differently with my spouse, understanding my spouse differently, or understanding myself differently, or just acknowledging personally, what is it that's going on? What are the recurring patterns and triggers that are going on that I need to address for me? Another question that you might want to ask in this space is, what lessons have we learned or have I learned from past difficulties that can help me guide myself and others through future challenges? And this, I think, is a really difficult one for a lot of us who have struggled with porn. I can tell you, so many men, when I talk to them, they're like, oh, I have no idea what happened when I looked at porn last. The problem with that is that the reason you have no idea what happened when you last looked at porn is that you are running as far and fast as you can away from that scenario so that you can get back to a normal or to a status quo, and you never learn the lessons. So part of this embracing growth cycles is just creating greater awareness around those past difficulties so that you can say, well, this is exactly what happened, and I can start to see why, and then I can start to address the why.
Okay, so number 7 is guarding against weeds, and we're going to equate this to preparing for challenges.
So there are going to be weeds. There's always going to be weeds. If you're married to a human in the world, there are going to be weeds. But you can guard against them to a degree.
Yeah. So consider ongoing maintenance to guard against the return of weeds. Develop strategies and rituals to prevent the weeds from coming back, right? Keeping unwanted pornography from returning over and over again into your life. And this is an ongoing care that ensures that your garden will remain thriving and begin to become a renewed space over and over again.
Yeah, and I think part of this is just simply being able to communicate about difficult things as quickly and easily as possible within the relationship. And one of the things that you're going to want to ask is, what are the preventative measures that we can put in place, you and me, to guard against the recurrence of these unwanted challenges like pornography or feeling disconnected from my spouse?
Or financial issues. All of the things,
yeah,
right?
So being as careful about preventative measures as possible. Another thing you might want to ask is, how can I maintain ongoing communication about our individual needs and concerns. We have on our calendar every Sunday, we have a little meeting that starts at about 2 o'clock and it says, Zach and Darcy meet about money. And every week, if we choose to, we can sit down and communicate about how our budget's going, what's working for us, what's not working for us, and deal with any issues up front instead of waiting until there's a struggle. Next, you might want to ask yourself, are there any specific rituals or check-ins that we can establish? And I just kind of talked about one that we put together to ensure that continued renewal and growth. Okay.
And our goal with the work that we do is to get a couple's soil and their foundation strong enough that if a weed comes into their garden once a year, it doesn't kill all the beautiful flowers and vegetables that are growing. The more we can sit with the idea that we don't have to be perfect this second and that we can create a marriage that can weather the different challenges that we have, I think the better off you're going to be in the long run.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, we're all humans and every once in a while we suck.
Yeah, totally. And I think anybody who's a gardener really gets this idea that if you've got a yard, if you've ever tried to keep a plant alive, you get this idea that no matter what it is that you're trying to do in that garden or in that yard or with that plant, there is always going to be something that comes up that you're not going to be prepared for and that you're going to have to learn to deal with in the moment. This is an opportunity for us to all take a step back and recognize that being married is not a state of being. It is a state of growth. And the more we can recognize that, the more likely it is that we're going to be able to enjoy the marriages that we have and enjoy our spouse. Like I like you.
You like me? What? Yeah,
most days.
Sometimes. Sometimes you don't like me. That's okay, though.
That right. That's actually really true. You guys are listening to that, and you might be laughing. Sometimes I'm like, oh, Darcy, I'm frustrated with you, and I don't like what you're doing. And that reality, our capacity to acknowledge that and deal with that in the moment helps us not only choose closeness with each other, but grow and renegotiate to a relationship that we actually enjoy.
Yeah. And here's just a quick example, which it's probably kind of random, but really, I think it applies here. Just the other day, we were struggling and I was just venting and telling Zach all the things that I think he needs to do better. And then I realized, okay, I'm really just having a bad day. I'm just grumpy. I'm sorry. Just ignore me. Like, I'm not really operating from the right frame of mind right now. I'm grumpy. And that actually gave, I think, Zach a space to be like, okay, like, she's just grumpy.
Yeah.
And even though he was probably thinking it like, wow, she's just grumpy. She must be on her period or something, even though
Darcy doesn't have a uterus, so yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We just go off of my moods. But sorry, that's probably TMI.
That's anyways, why they're here. They're here for
TMI.
Yeah,
maybe we take that out. But anyways, like me being able to acknowledge and say, hey, I'm super dysregulated right now. I realize it. Okay, I'm going to just shut my mouth and we'll come back to this later.
Yeah. And being able to see that and acknowledge that was a really beautiful opportunity, I think, for each of us to say, we still like each other. This one conversation doesn't need to be the end. And we can address the meaningful parts of it. Because even in her grumpiness, I was looking at myself saying, okay, what is true about what she's saying? What is there in that desire that she is bringing to me to change that is true? And I can address that. And then it was nice to soften a little bit of that grumpiness with the fact that you acknowledged you're grumpy. And so I was like, okay, this really isn't as much about me, but I can still see the parts that I want to be different because she's addressing it. And that sometimes that grumpiness is the catalyst that allows us to see those things. So there's a lot in there. There's a lot of just being aware, being willing to address it. And as you are thinking about your next year, we want you to think of these 7 areas that can help you take better care of your garden. Identify the weeds, which means just acknowledge the challenges. Cultivate the soil, understanding what kind of soil do you have? What do you have in there and can you adjust that? Plant seeds of change, nurture the growth, nurture the desire that your partner has to be a better human. Water and sunlight, build that intimacy, build connection. We're going to talk next week about hugging till relaxed. That's a great place to do that. Blossoming flowers, you know, celebrate those successes, celebrate the wins. Be willing to say, hey, we got 1% better, and that is enough for today. Seasonal pruning, which is, I like to call that the renegotiation of relationships. Hey, I used to do all the dishes. Now I think it's time for you to participate in that, that sort of conversation, being willing to prune and adjust the relationship as needed. And then finally, preparing for challenges by guarding against the weeds, being willing to create meaningful ways that each of you is paying attention to what weeds might be coming up and how you can guard against them.
By visualizing your marriage as this beautiful garden that also has weeds in it, you can begin to actively see the ongoing process of renewal in your marriage and how it is that you can begin to encourage a collaborative effort to cultivate a relationship that is resilient and vibrant and capable of weathering the challenges while also continuing to blossom and grow and move forward. Engaging in open and honest discussions can really contribute to a deeper understanding of the challenges and the opportunities for growth within your marriage.
Yeah. All right, my friends. Hopefully this has been helpful. Feel free to review us on iTunes. Feel free to share it with a friend. Feel free to sign up for
group coaching.
Group coaching
that starts on January 17th.
So there's only 10 days left and there are a limited number of spots. Go to thrivebeyondpornography.com/group2024. Or if you want to do a couples coaching, go to thrivebeyondpornography.com/workwiththrive. All right, my friends, we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Thrive Beyond Pornography. If you're seeking guidance and support to overcome pornography for good and begin creating a thriving life beyond it, check out my free webinar, How to Overcome Pornography with Skills That Actually Work. You'll learn practical, proven skills guided by an expert coach who has personally overcome pornography. Whether you're getting started for just yourself or along with your spouse, Darcy and I can teach you the tools that will help you put your life on the right path for you. Be sure to check out the show notes for a direct link. And if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, it would mean the world to us. Your reviews play a significant role in helping others discover the show so they can join us on this transformative journey. Thank you for being part of the Thrive Beyond Pornography community. Until our next episode, stay strong, stay focused, and keep thriving.